Good morning. Good morning. We've come to the end of the what I can call the incarnation season, the season of the year when we celebrate the coming of Christ among us, the coming of God, the coming of the second person of the Trinity, the coming of the Word of God. A reading today from Paul's letter to the Ephesians began at verse 7 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. That's the letter that he wrote to the Christians in Ephesus. That's why it's called the letter to the Ephesians. But what came immediately before the reading is quite important. He wrote, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all." Pardon me for saying this, but Christianity is indeed what our enemies tell us we are. We are exclusive. There is one Lord, one faith, one church, one God and Father of us all. But notice, Paul covers all the bases. You want to be a pantheist? You want to be a panentheist? Covers that too. One God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in all. So you can't escape the true God. You can call yourself anything you want. You can believe anything you want. But at a level that you're not even aware of, God is there. And so your purpose and my purpose in life is to admit that, to acknowledge that, to believe that, to live and die in that. Simple, folks. So don't give me any of the nonsense. All gods are the same, as Pope Francis recently said. All believe in the same God. No, we don't all believe in the same God. Subconsciously, maybe, underneath the level of our awareness, maybe there's only one God. There are not many gods. But Paul is very firm. And even though sometimes I have a little bit of trouble with Paul, I love him. He is the true voice of truth. So after saying that, one call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in all, he continues with the section that we heard today. And he's speaking precisely to those who are the one body, who share the one faith, the one baptism, the one God and Father. And he writes, "Grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." We are captives. And he came in order to raise us up to the heights of knowledge, the heights of goodness, the heights of love, the heights of purity, the heights of illumination, of understanding. And he gave gifts to men. And here is something interesting. In saying, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men, Paul is actually quoting Psalm 68. But he does something very unique. He changes one word in Psalm 68. Psalm 68 says, "You ascended the high mount, leading captives in your train and receiving gifts from men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God may dwell there." So in Psalm 68, God receives gifts from men. when Paul quotes it, he changes the receives to giving. That's the difference, dear friends. That is the difference. Religion, any religion, including Christianity, if you turn it into a religion, is all about giving. Giving your offerings, hoping to pacify some idol or some god or some goddess. Paul says he gives gifts to men. And not gifts of money, not gifts of prominence, of power, of dominion. Gifts to men that some might be apostles, some might be prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to build up the body of Christ, that one body that he's already spoken of. To build up the body, the church, to be what God wants it to be, not what we want the church to be. Until we all attain to the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the size of fullness of Christ. What an amazing statement, a promise that we can attain to the fullness of what Christ is. We have a word for that in the Orthodox Church. We call it deification, but I prefer the way Paul says it. Attaining to the fullness of Christ. Mature manhood, mature humanity, mature meaning of what it is to be human. So what is the purpose of being a church, of being that one body that Paul talks about? Is it to preserve a culture, an identity? Is that what we're all about? What about the people who sit in darkness that Jesus spoke of, quoting Isaiah, the people who sit in darkness in the shadow of death? What about those people? If we are comfortable and satisfied with resting in our identity, in our tradition, in our culture, in our ethnicity, in our whatever else you want to fit in there, what about those people? When will light dawn upon them unless we call them to repentance? Because whether anybody likes it or not, the call of Jesus Christ is repent, which is not just about sins. It is about sins. It is about letting go of a sinful life. But more importantly, repentance means change your mind. Transform your mind so you can see reality as it really is. So you can see what God is calling you to. Metanoite, metanous, change of mind, change of habit, change of your outlook, your mindset, your worldview. Years later, he's still calling people to repentance. Because quite frankly, the more I look around me and the longer I look at the world or punish myself by watching the news, I see the growing darkness all around us. Darkness in the hearts and souls of men and women. Darkness in the minds of men of power. And people reject the church because we don't accept people necessarily as they are. We do believe in change. We believe in repentance. People think the Bible is judgmental. So they say, keep your kingdom, kingdom of God, keep your, I don't want it, I don't need it, I'm fine as I am, okay? That's fine. Can't fight that. But then there's also the other thing that keeps people from hearing about the kingdom of God, the perennial question that actually ends up being a cop-out. And that's, where is God when there's so much suffering? Where is God in the fires of Los Angeles? Well, God didn't fill up that reservoir that had gone empty, and God didn't instruct the government to what laws to pass and whatever. So, and God also doesn't control the climate, if there is an issue with the climate. Where is God? He's not the magician in the sky who waves a wand and says, let it be like this. He tried that in the Old Testament, didn't work. It didn't work. People still didn't believe. Anyway, I like to share this little story that caught my eye. A young woman went to her mother and told her about how hard things were for her. She wanted to give up. She was tired of fighting and struggling. It seemed to her like God had it in for her. So her mother took her to the kitchen and brought 3 pots of water to boiling. In the first pot, she placed carrots. In the second, she placed eggs. And in the last, she placed coffee. She let them simmer, and in 20 minutes, she turned off the burners. She scooped out the carrots and placed them in a bowl. She pulled out the eggs and placed them in another bowl, and then she poured the coffee into a couple of cups. Turning to her daughter, she asked, "Tell me what you see." "Carrots, eggs, and coffee," she replied. "Feel the carrots," her mother said. They were soft and limp, of course. Then her mother asked her to peel one of the eggs. The daughter peeled the egg, and revealing a hard-boiled egg. Finally, her mother smiled and handed her a cup of the coffee. And the girl asked, "What does this mean, Mom?" Each of these objects had faced the same adversity, boiling water. And each reacted differently. The carrot went in strong and hard. 20 minutes of boiling, it was limp. The egg had been fragile and delicate, but now it was hard. The coffee was different. The coffee had released its fragrance and flavor into the water. "Which are you?" the wise mother asked her daughter. "When God brings trouble into your life, will you go limp like a carrot? Will you harden like an egg? Or will you release the fragrance of faith?" Remember that question. Remember that choice. It is a fundamental choice in all our lives. Do we go limp and pull back and give up? Or do we become hard and resistant? Or do we release the fragrance of our faith? I want to ask that same question of anyone who rejects God because of suffering or because whatever their issue is. Do you go limp and spineless and just give up and walk away? Or do you become hardened and unyielding and refuse to listen to the message of repentance, the message of our preaching? But what about the coffee? What about the fragrance? That's for us. If we really stand for the kingdom, if we really have heard the message of Jesus Christ, that's what we are called to be, the fragrance of God's message. Not the hardness, not the softness either, where we just accept everything and anything, okay, like many churches do today. They just, whatever the world, whatever the newest poll says, that's what they do. They just pull back. All goes, free for all. We don't believe anything really. And then there are others who pull back, harden into their shells, and refuse to even interact with the world. But we are called to be a fragrance, fragrance of love and truth, because they go together in our thinking. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, in another one of his great letters, St. Paul says, forget the nonsense that you hear about St. Paul being this. He was one of the most extraordinary. He was an amazing man. An amazing man. You actually read his letters. Yes, there are some tough stuff in there, because he had to be. But it is so full of poetry and beauty. What did he write to the Corinthians in his second letter to them? But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumph, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. And that's what we should be. That's what I should be. That's what every priest, preacher, pastor, every church should be. To spread the aroma of Christ, the fragrance of Christ, of the truth. Not the made-up truth, the truth. Because only the truth can transform. Only the truth can set us free. Don't use the word of God to destroy, to tear people up, as many Christians do. We challenge. The word of God challenges people, speaks the truth, regardless of who it upsets, but not to destroy, not to tear down, not to mock, not to insult. We are here to spread the fragrance of the kingdom. We are here to be the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved. Notice how Paul says, being saved. And among those who are perishing. We preach the same beautiful life-transforming message. And it will be received differently by different people according to where they are, according to what they want to hear, and according to whether they are willing to come into the light of Jesus Christ, who came into the world to be the light of the world, but then he told his disciples, you are the light of the world. He came to be the light, and he doesn't keep it to himself. He's not, you know, one of these, he's not, it's mine. I won't share it with anybody. He shares it. So he tells the apostles, you are the light of the world. That's the message of Christ, and that's the message of St. Paul. And I have no choice but to make it my message today. Amen.